This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
When it comes to God level sharing, you don't control the conversation, but you listen. Okay? You listen. This is the level where you find out what's the cause of this confrontation and you take steps to work it out. Okay, so this also is a higher level of communication where, you know, because most of the time in many homes, sometimes a certain spouse will want to dominate the conversation all through, and they want to control the conversation, and they always want to do all the talking but not listen. But this is a level where you actually listen. You know, you really listen. Not listen on the surface, but really listen deeply to what the other person is saying. And through that, you can find out the cause of maybe their problems or their challenges or their confrontation. You can really find the cause of, you know, the main problem, and begin to then, you know, seek God's wisdom to actually deal with it.
Okay. What you do in this situation, if you notice confrontation are becoming more frequent, don't underestimate the severity of it. I think what normally happens is when there's a confrontation, we don't stop to wait and say, wait a minute, why are we having this confrontation? But rather than stop and look at it, we just allow it to go on. We just allow it to go on, and we leave home, we're angry, we're not talking to one another, we come, we sleep in different rooms, or we sleep on different beds. We are not confronting the actual issue. And what we're saying is try to focus and find out the root of the problem. Because sometimes the root of the problem might not be as deep as you think it is. But if you've left it for a long time, it becomes deeper. You understand? Sometimes the root of the problem might just be that one person is not listening when the other person is talking. And so all you now need to do is just wait and hear, darling, you don't listen when I talk. And then you say, that's true, I don't listen. Rather than say, what makes you think I'm not listening? I'm always listening to you. And then, but you see, there we go again, you're not listening. You need to stop, pause, look at the issue, okay, and try and go to the root of it. Okay, resolve the differences in a timely manner and apologize to each other. Don't delay. You get me? I think what happens most times is we delay the apologies. You know, just like our relationship with God, where we must keep a short account with God, we must learn as married couples to keep a short account with one another. Okay, and when we first got married, I used to find it difficult to say I'm sorry to my wife, and the reason being that because I'm older than she is, and being an African man, he's always like, why should I say sorry? I'm the man.
Being a Calabar man as well. That's when Pastor
it used to be
apologizing in that area.
It used to be really difficult. No, it's the tribe I'm from. It used to be really difficult for me to apologize until God began to teach me to apologize to my wife. You understand? And so when I've done something wrong and she comes to me and says, darling, look, I don't like this, I'll say, I'm sorry. Even though sometimes it takes me a long time, I'm psyching myself up. And then finally say, I'm sorry. But the truth is that we must learn to keep short accounts with each other. Don't delay. Whenever couples have confrontation, it is best to solve it as soon as possible. You understand? And one of the things I found out, and I pray that even when you're counseling people, tell them not to involve their in-laws. It's between the two of them, and the only third person is God. You get me? The minute you begin to involve in-laws, you're escalating the issue. Because there's always a tendency for one person to take sides. And that's the last thing you want. And you see, God doesn't take sides. But with God, he will tell you to check your heart. With God is a heart issue. Amen. But with in-laws, not only in-laws, the third party. I tell you, I thank God for my wife and myself, and we're not saying this to boast, we just give glory to God. We've never been to the third party concerning our marriage. If we have any issue in our marriage, we discuss it and we talk about it and resolve it. And most times it's on our knees praying and speaking to God, because we're looking for the bigger picture, not the now. The bigger picture is what God has in store for your future. Okay? And you remember I said we pray about it. Which takes us to the next level of what we're teaching in communication, which is prayer. You understand? Prayer. Prayer is probably the most important ingredient required to sustain our marriage.
Sorry, we're moving from one topic to another now. So.
Yeah. Prayer is probably the most important ingredient required to sustain a marriage, to keep it healthy and vibrant. You see, let's look at marriage like a house with lots of bricks. Okay? Now, what do you think prayer is? Prayer is actually the mortar, the cement that holds all the bricks together and stops them from tumbling down. So we're not just talking of ordinary prayer here, but the prayer that brings a married couple together. You know, when we first started this teaching, we were talking about purpose, we were talking about communication. How can you communicate what God has laid on your heart? How can you communicate when the bricks are shifting? It's only when you go to God and you begin to speak to God, then you'll be able to communicate the way God wants you to.
One very important, and this is a very important, and we feel a very often overlooked reason for challenges in marriages, is that couples do not pray together. You know, we haven't done a statistics or done a survey, but we're convinced that most couples don't pray together. And we were talking about husband and wife here, actually spending some time, even if it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And that's the biggest problem, because like Pastor is saying, that is the mortar, that is the cement that actually keeps all the other blocks together, you know, in our marriages. So, like I said, we're not talking about family devotions, which will include the children. We're talking about a consistent and regular time of prayer that involves only a husband and a wife. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Actually, not only a husband and wife, and God as the third party. Okay? This whole issue of praying together is a foundation stone, as well as building material that has to be part and parcel of every Christian marriage. So it's a foundational stone. It's a foundation that we have to build our marriage on, and it's also the building material that we need to continue to use to cause the building of our marriage to grow and to get stronger. And we're just going to give you an example of us. When we first got married, we used to pray together every time. You know, we had never been taught that, even, you know, we didn't really have any marriage counseling, so I can't say that we were taught in our marriage. But for some reason, God just caused us to understand the need. I won't even say we really understood it, but we just
used just to loved. We just loved praying together.
We loved prayer, and then we loved praying together. So we used to pray together, no end. And God did so many. And in those days, we didn't have anything. You know, we were in our one room, and we used to.
And when we have visitors,
you know,
we used to put paper
we'll
on the floor.
Paper on the floor. You know, when you come and visit us, you sit on the floor with us. We'll eat together. But we were so happy. We were, you know, there was so much joy in our hearts. But one thing we used to do is pray together. And then things began to happen. You know, when you pray together, the love of your life is God. You know, you pray, pray, pray. Things obviously begin to happen. You know, and then before you know it, you get a little bit too comfortable. And after a while, we found out that we were not praying together the way that we used to pray together in the first few years of our marriage. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, we were, I always say, you know, we weren't what you would say on our way to the divorce court or separation or whatever, but there was a distancing between us. There was a distancing that we did not even recognize was there. We were doing the right things, going to church, doing everything, but there wasn't an intimacy the way that it should be. And we put that, you know, looking back, we put that down to the fact that we were not praying together the way that we started our marriage with. Okay. And that is what a lot of marriages are suffering from at the moment.
Because you see, the thing about praying together is that in praying together, it brings the body, soul, and the spirit together. When a couple pray together, there is an intimacy that cannot be explained. You understand? There's a deeper intimacy that nobody can explain. You begin to flow on a particular level. You know, when my wife and myself spend time to pray together, the anointing in the place is a lot more than when I'm praying on my own. You understand? And as we began to learn this, we got into it and we're so involved until, like Falaka said, we became so comfortable. We could just pray about something and we'll see it happen.
Sorry, I know we are short of time, but on this issue of intimacy, you find out this is the precise reason why people who are engaged, who are not married, you know, are encouraged to pray together, but not to stay too close
together.
Praying together, because that's the kind of intimacy it engenders that often leads them to fornication. They didn't intend so, but because of that intimacy that is generated through praying together, you know, they can easily, you know, miss the the boundary line and cross over.
You are absolutely right.
Because in our counseling,
in our counseling, actually, that we've been doing recently, and also in there's a course called One Course, which is for engaged couples. The exact thing that you've just said is actually addressed there, because we look at emotional intimacy, spiritual
intimacy,
and physical,
and
the exact thing. So it just shows you the level that praying together can get you to, you know.
And what we always advise engaged couples is that they shouldn't pray together in the same room. They should pray together where there are other people. There's nothing stopping you from praying as individuals. But when you come to pray together, don't let it be in solitude. You understand? Because it's very intimacy. Prayer, intimacy in prayer is powerful. And we just want to encourage married couples. And when you counsel other people, say to them, you need to learn to pray together. It's never easy at the beginning. But as you keep pressing in, it will come. A lot of Christian married couples have their individual separate prayer lives, which they don't joke with and are disciplined about it. You know, there is nothing wrong with that. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Because we all as individuals need our individual prayer time. The point, though, is that a married couple individual life, an individual prayer life, is not enough when you're married. Because it's in that place of praying together that you bring issues before the Lord together. You bring your children, you bring your finances, you bring your job issue, you bring everything. Because you're now praying together, and when two shall agree concerning a thing, it is done. You understand? Sometimes married couples are looking for prayer partners everywhere. But your best prayer partner is your wife or your husband. Amen.
The only way for a married couple to truly become one, as God intends for both to, is to submit themselves to the guidance of, and guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit by praying together. Okay? And what we're saying here is that that's the one way that God has designed for us really to become one. You know, the Bible talks about the two becoming one, the two becoming one flesh. And praying together is one way that God, you know, intends for us really to become that one flesh. Okay. Praying together praying together, number one, is the most intimate thing a husband and wife can do together. And, you know, most people will quickly say, are you sure? I thought it was sexual intimacy. But praying together is actually the most intimate thing that a husband and wife can do together. Even more so than sexual intimacy.
And you know, one of the things I discovered, and someone should correct me here if I'm wrong. We are individuals with our different talents, giftings, unique everything. But one of the things I found out is that the Bible says, and the two shall become one. But you see, when we're married, we've not become one as such. You get what I'm saying? It's a process, so we're struggling. Mm. But as you spend time praying together, what happens is you start becoming one. And as you keep praying, the one flesh becomes solidified. Mm. That's what, you understand? And you become closer and closer and closer as you spend time praying together. Mm. That's one of the things I've discovered. Mm. You get me? From glory to glory. Yes. Amen. Yes. And that's why sometimes you see some of these top preachers, you begin to see them look like each other.
Mm. Husband and wife.
Mm. Especially when you look at Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland, the way they talk, the way they understand each other's movement. Why? Because there's intimacy in praying together.
The second thing about praying together is that it's essential to the health of a marriage. For a marriage to be healthy, to stand the test of time, they need to be praying together. Also, the third thing, praying together takes dedication, practice, and consistency. That is so true. It takes dedication, because I've never known something to be so hit by the enemy, in a marriage, as praying together. The enemy will do everything to stop a couple praying together. You know, he doesn't mind you still continuing with your individual prayer lives, but for you to pray together, he will do everything. He will make sure it doesn't happen if we let him. So it will take dedication, practice, and consistency.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.